morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. It's so wonderful, like we were talking about on yesterday's class, when you see and know the truth. The truth is light, and when you are enlightened, then instead of being confused about what's going on in the light, you see clearly. You go, oh, well, that's what it is. I see it. It's clear. No more confusion. And the enemy is always trying to confuse, always trying to discourage, but he's a defeated foe.
Amen.
And the greater one's inside of us.
Yes.
And we are winners.
Amen.
He always causes us to triumph.
Yes.
So get your Bible, get something to make a note with. We're so glad you joined us today. We're going to be fed, be quickened, and come up higher. Lord, we ask for it in Jesus' name, the direction of your Spirit, the help of your Holy Spirit, and the enlightening and the quickening and strengthening and help of your Spirit. We ask for these things today in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Amen.
Amen.
We've been on the series that we're calling Faith for Provision for a number of weeks now. And what we're doing is giving reason after reason after reason, 30 reasons from Scripture, why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. And if you haven't heard the previous 16, they're available. If you go to faithschool.org, they're all there and a whole lot more. And you don't have to pay for them. There's no charge. And it would benefit you because we're building one upon another from one now all the way to 17. So faithschool.org, go take advantage of that, please. And we have looked in Deuteronomy 8, if you'd look again, talking about this 17th reason that we're sure abundant provisions, always God's will for us all, because of the covenant blessing. The covenant blessing. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He that gives you power to get wealth." Well, He must not want you broke.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Don't complicate it. I mean, you know, where is the scripture said? You know, remember the Lord your God. It is He that makes you poor.
Mm-hmm.
Or anything like that. You can't find that. And yet, you have a lot of church-going people that believe that God uses poverty. They also believe He uses sickness. They believe He uses any number of bad things because they believe He's responsible for everything that happens and that everything that doesn't happen is His will and everything that does happen is His will. This is not true. And it's also shirking your responsibility, right? People like what I call no-fault religion. No matter what happens, it's not my fault. Is that right? No matter what doesn't happen, not my fault. Why? God. No, that's wrong. That's wrong, wrong, wrong. He made us capable of thinking and understanding and distinguishing between good and bad, and gave us a choice. Now, if I don't know the difference between good and bad, I shouldn't be held accountable for doing bad. Because I don't even know what it is, right? I shouldn't be required to repent. I sure shouldn't be judged for doing bad, because I don't even know what's good and what's bad. Creates a problem, doesn't it? No. God has given us the ability, and He gave us His Word to tell us what's good and bad, and He gave us the author of the book to live inside us 24/7 to help us to understand what he said and apply it morning, noon, and night every day of our life. We really have no excuse. And yet, people make excuses nonstop. No, quit being a baby. Quit being dishonest. Quit being a hypocrite. Acknowledge what you know and walk in the light of what you know. Do what you know to be right. Didn't the Bible say in James, to him that knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. Mm-hmm. So you are held accountable. Why? Because you knew. You did know. Amen. And the Lord's merciful about what we don't know. But the way to get more light is to walk in the light you have right now. In his light, we see light. And as you walk in the light you have, you'll get more. You'll get more. You'll get more. But you, if you get light and you act like you don't see it because you don't want to do anything about it, well, then you get stuck. And you get darker, actually. And you get dumber. And you're just going the wrong way. But you can turn around any day that you choose to. He said, you'll remember the Lord your God. It's he that gives you power or ability to get wealth. Well, he must want you to have some wealth, or he wouldn't give you the power to get it.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Huh? If you're able to accumulate some good things and accumulate some wealth, and then the Lord says, I don't like that. I wish you didn't have that. And you say, well, you help me get it. Right? Yeah. That's confusing, isn't it?
Yeah.
No. He gives you the power to get it. Now, keep that in mind because later on I want us to spend some time on this talking about blessing power. Because what this is referring to, how does he empower you to succeed, to get good things and have good things? It's the blessing.
Yes.
The blessing is not just a religious nothing. The blessing is power, divine power. Power that causes to increase. Power that creates the miracle of multiplication. Now we've been around, seed time and harvest all of our life, and so we're used to it. But it's a miracle that one seed becomes 50. That's a miracle. We need to back up and look at it like we've never seen it before and realize how can one become 100? One turn into 1,000? How can that be? Well, from the very beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, everything he made, the birds, the winged creatures, the four-footed creatures, the animals, the human beings. What did the scripture say? He blessed them. And what did the blessing sound like? Be fruitful and multiply. Well, this is not just a pat on the head. Do good. All right, y'all go on and have fun. No. Mm-mm. When God speaks, it's for more than communication. When God speaks, he creates. It's amazing. And so when he says, be fruitful, those words do something to you. And they do something in your life. And when he says, multiply, that's the miracle power of the blessing for one to become many. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so keep that in mind because we're going to see this word blessing over and over again. God uses it many, many times. And so every time he says it, don't let it become just a religious phrase that you don't pay attention to anymore. Realize when he says be blessed, that is infusing power.
Yes.
That is creative power. Increased power, multiplying power. So when he said he gives you power to get wealth, in order to do what? That he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Going back to the covenant that he made with Abraham, he said that he was going to bless him, and those that blessed him would be blessed, and that in his seed would all the earth, all the world be blessed. And if you read right after the Lord said that to him and entered covenant with him, everything he had, I mean his cows, his sheep, his goats, his camels, his gold, his silver, everything just multiplied until he was one of the richest people anywhere. God did that. Well, when did he change his mind? When did he say, you know, I'm tired of all that wealth. Let's do some poverty. No. What has happened is men have been lazy spiritually and don't want to take any responsibility for anything. And men have been deceived. And wrong things have been taught and preached in churches and at seminaries for many years. And just because something's been around a long time doesn't mean it's right. You know, if it was wrong 300 years ago, it's still wrong. Still wrong. But people get used to their traditions, and you'll see people, they'll fight you over their traditions more than they will the Word of God. And that's why Jesus said, he said, you have made the Word of God of no effect by your traditions. Traditions are dangerous, to religious traditions. They're one of the most dangerous things on the planet. So beware of them. What do I mean by that? When you realize something you believe or you have strong feelings about, discipline yourself to take a step back and go, okay, where is that in the Scripture? Where is that? Well, that's my belief. Well, I've had people say, you know, get irate. Well, I got a right to my beliefs. Are you a Christian?
Yes.
Yes. Well, then you don't have a right to just formulate your own beliefs. If Jesus is your Lord, he told you what to believe.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
You believe, you know, sometimes people get hung up on this, you know, what would Jesus do? And they get a wistful look in their eye, and I don't know, what would he do? How about what did he do? Amen. You got a whole bunch of information here. What did he do? You already have it to see and to understand. You don't have to speculate. So stay with that, and in that light, you will get more light. Go with me to Leviticus, please, the 26th chapter, and let's begin to look at the covenant. And like we saw in yesterday's class, he said, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. Now, does that reveal his will? Did he tell us what he wanted us to have?
Yes.
Yes. Does he want you to have death?
No.
Does he want you to have cursing?
No.
No. To say he does, well, we just never know. Well, he said it's the result of disobedience, of rejecting him, of not listening to him. Does he want you to not listen to him? Then he doesn't want you to have the curse.
That's right.
Does he want you to listen to him?
Yes.
Then he wants you to have the blessing.
Yes.
Let this be simple for you, child of God. Let this settle these things for you. Do not let the enemy play you, confuse you. It is just this simple. Notice in Leviticus 26, verse 1, you shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up any a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down to it. I am the Lord your God. This is still true today. You Christians should not be praying in front of a statue, kneeling down and praising in front of a statue or pictures supposedly of Jesus or of saints or of Mary. No images. no statues, no pictures that you use in praying and praising and that kind of thing. The Lord's very clear. This is the first part of the Ten Commandments. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. What's another way of saying that? If you listen to me, right? Listen to me. Listen to me and do what I tell you. Is that still a good idea?
Yes.
Yes. If you'll listen to me and do what I tell you, I will give you rain in due season. That means no more drought. No more drought. Now see, this was written to the whole nation. Of course, that affects all the individuals and all the families that are in it. But this is written to the whole nation and the entire geographic area where they live. Drought is not the will of God. Devastating storms, tsunamis, tornadoes, earthquakes, volcano eruptions, this kind of thing. That is not the will of God. That's destruction. And these kind of things are going on in the earth because of the curse. In fact, the scripture tells us in Romans that the earth itself is groaning and travailing. Why? It's fallen from its perfect original condition where it was created in. When Adam and Eve fell and the Lord pronounced the judgment and the curse, it affected all of the earth. And, you know, before the fall, there was nothing that would hurt nor harm. There were no poisonous snakes. The animals didn't eat each other. There were no poisonous plants. It didn't get too hot. It didn't get too cold. There were no volcanic eruptions and tsunamis, and there was none of that. But all of that has happened since the fall, and it continues, and the earth is on a trajectory to devastation and destruction. The scripture says there's coming a time when the entire thing is going to melt with fervent heat. And so people talk about saving the earth. Well, it ain't going to make it. Now, we don't know the time frame on that. But Scripture has always been right about everything, and it'll be right about that. But it groans, it travails, and so why? Because something's wrong. The curse is wrong, and death is wrong. But have you read in the book of Revelation that God's going to create new heaven and a new earth wherein is no curse? Woo! And there'll be no more sorrow. No more pain, no more crying, no more dying. Does this sound good?
Or,
yeah. Well, now let's stop though. Is the groaning and death and destruction the will of God? Or is how He made it to begin with the way He wanted it? Right? And then when He fixes everything in the end, a new heaven and new earth, there's no curse. That's how He wants it.
Right?
Right?
Right.
He made it the way He wanted it.
Right.
Man and the devil messed it up, right? He's going to restore it the way He wants it.
Yeah.
Amen. And the way He wants it is good. No curse, no death, no destruction. He said, I'll give you rain in your due season, so no more drought. The land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. You might say, well, man, you know, we've had drought. If any group of people anywhere are experiencing this kind of thing, if their leaders, did you hear that word?
Yes.
Their leaders and the people with them would come before God. Remember the scripture said, if my people that are called by my name, right, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that He would hear. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And He would answer. The thing is, in a whole lot of places, it didn't matter how terrible the situation gets. Their leaders won't call on God. They won't lead the people. They're not willing to come together and say, we've missed God. We messed up. We took him out of this. We took him out of that. It's not okay. If you want God's help, you know, his help comes with him.
Amen.
Right? You can't separate his help. Well, Lord, we really want your help, but we don't want you. We don't want you meddling in our affairs. We don't want to listen to you. We want to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, the way we want to do it. We don't want to hear from you, but please deliver us and help us. Mm. How would you answer that? So you want what I got. You want what I can do, but you don't want me. You don't like me at all. You don't want me at all. You want me to help you and go away. Not so nice. I'll give you rain in due season. The land will yield her increase. The trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Does that sound like poverty?
No.
And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage. And the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. And you will eat your bread to the full. And you will dwell in your land safely. Let this get ingrained in your spirit. We are reading the will of God. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
He is telling us what he wants for us. First off, he wants us to listen to him.
Amen.
And do what he tells us to do. And he's saying it comes with some benefits.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
You listen to me. You do what I tell you to do. I'm going to watch over you.
Right.
I'm going to make sure you get your rain. I'm going to help you. I'm going to prosper your crops. And you're going to have plenty. And your harvests are going to be so regular and so abundant that your threshing will reach to the vintage. And the vintage shall reach to the sowing time. And you'll eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. This word reach is a significant word. The word poverty and lack literally has to do with not reaching. And, you know, it's easy to understand that. If you get paid and then the pay doesn't reach till the next pay period, right? That's not blessing, right? There's a shortage. You got a gap. You know, you got more week than you do money. You got more bills than you do money. That your pay, your income didn't reach. It didn't cover. That's not a blessing.
No.
That's a curse. Amen. Does God want you blessed or cursed?
Yes.
Then does he want your resources reaching or not enough?
Reaching.
Not reaching. Well, he's telling us right here. This is what he wants for us. We should not question it again. He's told us what he wants. In the English version says, your crops will be so plentiful that you'll still be harvesting grain. When it's time to pick the grapes, you'll still be picking grapes. If it's time to plant the grain, you'll have all you want to eat and you'll live in safety in your land. Verse 6, I will give peace in the land. You'll lie down, none will make you afraid. I'll rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land. So is having enemies come on your land and in your country and having to fight them off, is that the perfect plan and will of God? No. Wild animals killing people and killing the children, is that a blessing or a curse? That's a curse. Being afraid and always having to do all this security and always having to watch and all this crime, is that the will of God? Not the will of God. The will of God is peace in the land so that you can lay down in your bed and sleep good and not afraid and you're not having battles fought on your homeland. You will chase your enemies and they will fall before you by the sword. 5 of you will chase 100. 100 will put 10,000 to flight and your enemies will fall before you by the sword. This is more than military prowess and ability. This is God with you in the battle, and it just puts fear in the enemy, and they just crumble and scatter in front of you and don't know why. And it's not because you're so amazing and strong. It's because of God, His blessing. Somebody say blessing. His power and presence in and around and with you. Verse 9, I will have respect to you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. Now that's what we read in Deuteronomy 8:18. You remember the Lord your God. He's the one that gives you power to get wealth that He may establish His covenant. See, these are not separated things. They all flow together. He's always been saying the same thing. He never changes. Verse 10, you will eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new. This is surplus, right? I mean, when you reap your harvest and you're taking them back to the silos and barns, you're going, where am I going to put this? We didn't use half of what we got from last year. Well, I want to hold on to the new, so I got to take the old out. I got to do something with it. And so you got to take the old clothes out of your closet to make room for the new. Some of them still got tags on them. You haven't worn them yet. Got to take the old car out of the garage. Oh, I need three amens at least on that. Oh, old car out of the garage to make room for the new. Huh? This is God's will or not?
Yes.
Is this excess? Is this unnecessary? Is this something God doesn't like? Or was it always His idea?
His idea.
Surplus. More than enough. Overflow. For one thing, you don't just take these new things and trash them. The more you have, the more you can give.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You don't just hoard them indefinitely. You are a giver.
Yes.
And you are a sower. And you don't sow junk.
Right.
You sow good. You sow new.
Yes.
You will eat old store. You'll bring forth the old because of the new. I'll walk among you and be your God, verse 12, and you will be my people. Are we reading the will of God?
Yes.
This is the will of God. This is the covenant blessing. And we're out of time. Say it out loud. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. We'll see you again next time here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.